Let's read together Exodus chapter 23. In this chapter, we have further laws under the Mosaic Covenant for the protection and regulation of Israel's society. We also have laws relating to Israel's conquest of the land of Canaan. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 9. Exodus 23, beginning at verse 1. You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it. You shall not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. Also you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Let's begin our study this morning of Exodus 23 with some background notes. After the listing of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, the next three chapters, Exodus 21, 22, and 23, give further laws under the Mosaic Covenant. These laws covered all areas of life, and if followed, brought justice and blessing to the society. Most of these laws are easy to understand as to why they were given, and many of them have direct application for today. Take verse 8 of this chapter, for example. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. Now, that's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? Now, some of the laws under the Mosaic Covenant are not easy to understand at first reading and need some explanation. Look at verses 18 and 19 of this chapter, for example. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Several laws in these verses need explanation, don't they? What about this matter of not offering blood sacrifices with leavened bread? Blood sacrifices were not to be offered with leavened bread because leaven was a symbol of moral corruption and evil in the way it spread. What about not leaving any of the fat of the sacrifice until morning? The fat of the offerings, which was considered a choice part of the offerings, by the way, was to be burned on the altar at the time of the sacrifice and not kept overnight with some of the meat of the offering, which was food for the priests. Now, what about this matter of not boiling a young goat in its mother's milk? They were not to boil a kid in its mother's milk. We're obviously talking about young goats here, not children. Most likely, this law was to keep the children of Israel from using a common occult practice that the Canaanites used in their fertility rites. It may also have been for the protection of young goats, so that the flocks were not decimated. Our first doctrinal point for this chapter will once again be the same as for chapters 21 and 22 with some further subpoints. So doctrinal point number one, the Mosaic Law was given for the protection and regulation of society. The Mosaic Law was given for the protection and regulation of society. Subpoint number one, under the law, the courts were to be just. Under the law, the courts were to be just. Verses 1 through 9. Justice was not to be perverted by false testimony, or following the crowd, or showing favoritism. You were not to show partiality to the rich over the poor, verse 6. And notice in verse 3 that you were not to show partiality to the poor over the rich when it came to justice. There were no Robin Hood clauses in the Mosaic Law allowing poor, struggling people to get away with robbing the filthy rich. No. At the same time, under the law, the rich were to give to the poor and not charge the poor interest. And they were to leave the corners of their fields unharvested as food for the poor and needy. When you had a legal disagreement with someone called your enemy in verse 4 or one who hates you in verse 5, you were not justified in letting his stray animal run away, and you were to help his donkey in need. Let's state an application of this law for today. Don't refuse to help your neighbor with a problem, even though he's taking you to court in a property dispute. Subpoint number 2. Under the law, the Sabbaths were to be kept. Under the law, the Sabbaths were to be kept. Verses 10 through 12. 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its produce. But the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. In like manner you shall do with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. The children of Israel were not only to rest themselves on the Sabbath day of each week so that they would be refreshed, but they were to let the land rest every seventh year so that the land could be refreshed with nutrients, etc., etc. Furthermore, whatever was left in the field during the Sabbath year was free for the taking by the poor and needy as well as by the wild animals. By the way, we see throughout the Mosaic Law that God wanted his people to be kind to animals, and still does. Subpoint number 3. Under the law, the feasts were to be celebrated. Under the law, the feasts were to be celebrated. Verses 13 through 17. And in all that I have said to you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods, nor let it be heard from your mouth. 3 times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you, at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt, none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field. And the feast of ingathering, at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. 3 times in the year all your males shall appear before the Lord God. There were 7 religious feasts throughout the year for Israel. 3 times a year, all the males in Israel were to come to the tabernacle and later the temple to celebrate 3 of the feasts, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Harvest or Pentecost, and the Feast of Ingathering or Tabernacles. Wives and families could come along as well, but they were not required. Remember, the Lord came up to Jerusalem with his family when he was 12 years old to celebrate the Feast of Passover, Luke chapter 2. By attending these 3 feasts, the children of Israel actually got to celebrate most of the 7 feasts when they came up to Jerusalem. Since the Passover and first fruits were actually part of the week of unleavened bread, and since the Day of Atonement was within 5 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, 3 trips to Jerusalem per year covered most of the feasts. This law of required attendance provided for national, spiritual, and social unity in the nation. And it kept the name of the Lord before the people. So important in view of the danger of even mentioning other gods, as we see there in verse 13. So the Mosaic Law was given for the protection and regulation of society. Doctrinal point number 2. The Mosaic Law was given for the direction and caution of conquest. The Mosaic Law was given for the direction and caution of conquest. Verses 20 through 33. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I will cut them off. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. And I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the sea, Philistia, and from the desert to the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. In these verses, the Lord promised to bring the children of Israel into the land of Canaan and drive out the enemy from before them and bless them, if they would just trust the Lord and follow him and not turn to the foreign gods. The Lord even promised to keep them from sickness and miscarriages, verses 25 and 26. The guiding angel promised here in verses 20 through 23 is most likely the angel of the Lord. That is the Lord himself, the pre-incarnate Son of God. Notice verse 21, my name is in him, an indication that this is the Lord himself. The Lord promised in verse 27 that he would make the Canaanites afraid of God's people and run away in defeat. Now what about the hornets of verse 28? This may be a symbolic name for the Egyptian army that periodically invaded the land of Canaan. On the other hand, these hornets may be literal hornets that God used to drive the Canaanites out. Let me ask you, did you ever run into a swarm of hornets? You run the other way as quickly as possible. The boundaries of the land are given in verse 31. The river here is the Euphrates River. The Sea of Philistia is the Mediterranean Sea. All of this land was finally under Israel's authority during the days of King Solomon. In verse 33, we see why God directed his people to clean out the Canaanites from the land. Verse 33, they shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Of course, Israel did not heed this warning, and they failed to drive out all the Canaanites from the land, and they reaped the consequences of idolatry. So we see that the Mosaic Law was given for the direction and caution of conquest. Now, what about practical application from Exodus 23? Let's practice the little-by-little principle. In verses 29 and 30, God said that the conquest would not be over quickly, not even in a single year. Why? So that the land would not become desolate before it could be settled by the 12 tribes. If the enemy was driven out too quickly, even the wild beasts would overrun the land. And so it was little by little. This is a biblical principle. When we become Christians, we don't become spiritually mature overnight. But little by little, the enemy's toeholds and pockets of resistance are eliminated. As we fill our lives with wholesome activities, the old habits are pushed out. There is no vacuum where Satan can move in with other sins. You know, this is a good principle to remember when we disciple new Christians. Let's practice the little by little principle.